Welcome to the Nintendo Show, episode 52. I'm your co-host, Devin Moon, and with me, as always, making the magic happen behind the scenes, Trevor Payne.
What is up? Happy, wonderful day, video game world.
Welcome to this wonderful cornucopia of video game magic and Nintendo magic specifically. This week, Trev, we're going to be answering them fan questions, and we are going to be talking about what we've been playing, which is, for some of us, pretty exciting, and for some of us, not as exciting. But other than that, if you want to be part of the show, as usual, come down to the Twitch land where we will serve you up some hot heaping chunks of I don't know what I'm talking
of
about.
Something,
well,
huh?
Of something.
I'll take
you're
going to
get a whole, get your questions, your comments, your concerns. You just shove them on that Twitch. We'll serve them up back at you. you can also do that at thenintendoshow.com. And, you know, any other place where you want to comment, we'll find them and we will make sure they're on the show. Mr. Miyamoto, he left. He's gone. There's no news. Not a single thing. We've been abandoned. We are orphaned, Trevor, sad and alone, lost in the winter, cold, freezing. So we must keep warm as a group. So we asked some fan questions, you know, what they're thinking out there in the ether, since, you know, well, let's just say we got a PlayStation 5 now and we got an Xbox Series X now. Things have changed.
We do.
The landscape. Hey,
you know, new generation, baby.
New generation.
It's not next gen anymore. It's current gen.
It's current gen. And the Switch is here with it. Let's get into these fan questions, Trev. What do you say? You ready?
Yeah, let's
go. You ready
to
go? Ready to rock it?
Dude, I'm ready to rock.
Pantsuits ask, what is the one thing Nintendo can do better to compete with this new console generation? Trev, what is Nintendo? What is the one thing, singular, one thing that Nintendo can do to compete with the Series X and the PlayStation 5? This seems to be on the minds of a lot of people lately.
Sure.
Is Nintendo going to be left behind, all that stuff? But is there one thing that Nintendo can do?
You know, I feel like they're already doing it, though. They're already competing. They're already outselling. They're already, like, they're in it already. So it's kind of hard to say what one thing they could do better. Obviously, there's a lot of things they can do better. I feel like they are in a different playing field. They're over there playing at a whole different park. Not even the same elementary school, man. They're doing something else. But I would probably say, I think... I don't know. I think I'm ready for another iteration of the Switch, something a little bit more powerful that can put a little more horses into that little Switch, you know, a little more durable power or whatever, make that thing go. Or, you know, just, I think after, you know, getting one of these new systems, I think, like, I don't know, maybe they refine the hardware a little bit. So make that screen a little bit bigger, higher resolution, some stuff that we've talked about in the past to bring a little bit more, premiumness to the device, because it does feel pretty cheap and old at this point.
Well, yeah, when you bring that up, like the old factor, it's funny, like consoles, like when I got that Switch, is like, yes,
yeah,
this is
right,
heavy.
Like this is amazing.
This is a man's toy. This ain't no kid's child's play. This is the real deal. But now it feels kind of childish. You know, it's funny how like you get the new shiz and you're like, yeah, things have totally changed. Cause those, yeah, I mean, the Xbox Series X is, it's daddy's console. You know what I mean? That ain't no little kiddie thing. And I think Nintendo could use a little black paint job, kind of freshen up a little new coat of paint on that thing for sure. But the one thing for me that I know Nintendo, I think Nintendo, especially next year, this is what I expect from Nintendo next year, is to see a lot of good games. And I mean a lot of good games. I feel like this year is going to end on a kind of okay note, like an all right note. Like last week I said how much I kind of like, did you play the demo? Did you play the demo of Zelda, whatever?
Yeah, the Warriors.
Yeah, Hyrule Warriors, Calamity, Age of Calamity.
Yep.
After playing that, I don't feel like it's going to be like the game, you know, it's not the game to be like, heck yeah, Nintendo 2020. You know what I mean? So I feel like what they could do is get the heavy hitters out. And they are, I know we know of one for sure, Breath of the Wild 2, which will be there.
Yeah.
But I do think we need to see like another big guy. We might need a full refresh, like the first year of the Switch where we had Odyssey and Breath of the Wild.
Another Mario game or, you know, another heavy hitter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Something similar to that. And I mean, would we be also, we might even be seeing a mainline Pokemon game, right?
It's possible.
This is the second year
and they had two DLCs this year, but the thing is they weren't huge. So I can't imagine the whole team has been working on those. So I'm sure they're working on whatever the next one is. There has been those rumors still of another Let's Go Gold and Silver, whatever remakes. So that's, I mean, still a possibility. Maybe they go that direction. I'm not too sure. So, but yeah, I think that they need some bigger heavy hitters for the Switch. They've had a lot of releases, like as far as a lot of other like indie and small things that have been wonderful that I've really liked. But yeah, I think they need to bring out the big guns again. Like it's been a good handful of years. Let's bring out the big boys.
Yeah. I think it's time for the big boys to play. I mean, I know we're getting Mario 3D World. Also, we're also getting Bravely Default 2 as well. Those are okay. But I kind of want from now on to not see another Wii U game ever again.
Ported,
like,
I want to
be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost getting it's kind of a joke. Like as much as I want all the games on Switch, I'm just like, oh, it's just another port. Like it's a little disappointing to see.
Yeah, the ports are just killing me, man. It's like one after another. And I love the Wii U and I played the crap out of it. And that's why the ports kind of just hurt me. Like when I see a Pikmin 3, you know, I'm like, I just played it and it's great, but I just am not ready to go. You know, where's Mario Kart? It's been forever. There's just these series that have taken for so long. I also expect that we will see Metroid Prime 4 in some fashion,
at least
in a trailer form. Yeah. At least in a trailer form by now, you know? So I think there's a lot that Nintendo has waiting. And I think that's the one thing that, I mean, with any system, Xbox, PlayStation, video games is what we're all about here. So I feel like that's what they got to do.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Another thing comes to mind too, though. Okay. So like on the topic of new systems, okay, with the Series X and PS5 and things like that. One thing that I think Nintendo could learn, at least from those, or a takeaway, is that just full feature backwards compatibility, like honoring their whole catalog and their whole like legacy. Like Xbox has been so cool that almost every game is available for me to go back and play from first generation Xbox to now. And that is so cool. And I love Microsoft's commitment to that. I would love to see Nintendo, because they have such this like huge, deep roster of games and just some of the best games ever created, open up their virtual console system, like something like that. Or even if they tied into the online, the Nintendo Online stuff, like really just dive in and commit to it. Not these little trickle of games, like come in, swing and be like, we are launching 600 of the best Super Nintendo games in June. And then on July, we're doing, you know, and just get really crazy about it. Because you know what? First of all, it would make them a ton of money. Like I just think that's just money being left on the table. Plus it's giving people a legit like way to play those games without having to pirate them. And I would love that, because I have been having just a joy of a time with some of the older games that I'm playing on the Series X, which seems weird. It's weird to get a new console and be playing a lot of old games. But I think Nintendo's catalog of games is so huge. Like it feels like it's a missed opportunity to not do something like that, especially when they had something like that on the Wii U and the Wii.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, fully. I feel like that is one thing they could definitely learn and bring it all on. It's just Nintendo right now, this year specifically, it seems like they're reverting against that whole idea. They're having everyone purchase everything, you know, as it's as if it was new, you know, and then take it away. So it's like we're in a weird spot, and I really want to see Nintendo yeah, they need to learn from their competitors. Xbox is definitely in that. PlayStation, I know they're in a weird spot.
To an extent. They have PS4 compatibility pretty much with every game. PS3 and some PS2 and 1 and stuff like that is through like PlayStation Now, where you're like streaming it or something like that. So it's not like actually running on the hardware. So it's being streamed, which at least there is an option. Like they do have something going on, which that's cool. But I feel like they could even do better. Like Microsoft has really committed to this like backwards compatibility thing that I fully respect, and I hope all the other companies, because all these other companies have a way better roster of games than Microsoft. And I wish that they would just honor that history and really dig in and really just be like, put it out there for everybody. I would just love that. I think that would be wonderful.
Yeah, I think backwards compatibility is great. Yeah, dude, if they just refresh the whole thing, I think if you get a brand new console coming in same period of time, March, say Zelda comes in March, same thing. They just do a whole Switch reboot. I think that's a way. It's a way to get
release Switch Pro.
Switch Pro, and then you add, you know, fixing the online features. Tons of fix, guys. There's not even a Netflix. Like, I don't care that much, but it's weird. You know, there's like Hulu, but there's no Netflix or YouTube or anything. There's just that. I understand that every device has those, so it's not a big deal, but it's just kind of weird.
Nintendo's folders.
Kind of, folders. What?
I want folders. Trump, I want themes.
Why when we have a new generation of every console that they get rid of folders? Like PlayStation 5, I heard, got rid of the folders on their new setup. So like it's cleaner and it's nicer, but there's no folders. And I'm like, why would you get rid of the one thing that everyone wants? They did it like I remember them doing it for the last console too, for the Xbox, that got rid of folders from 360 to that. It's just so funny that they kind of like, they're like, it's like an upgrade, but it's not an upgrade.
Well, it's because they got to leave that, you know, so you're like, you want a little more, you want those, you got to have those folders, man. Folders are like number one. No. Hot feature, dude.
Hot feature, baby. It's too hard to do right out the gate. You can't burn that thing right off.
You can't put all your features out there at once, especially when you're talking about folders. Like PlayStation 5 right now, that's like a hot topic, that there's no folders, where the PS4 had folders. Yeah. They went back there to no folders. And it's such a silly thing that that's like a big deal. But, you know, organization, man. Content.
Well, when you have hundreds of games, it does get a little scary.
Yeah,
in there.
It does. Yeah,
it's a little frightening in there.
Easier to manage, right?
Yep. Anyways, I think Nintendo has a good chance to kick some butt this year, especially against Xbox. I think Xbox is going to have an uphill battle. I think as a third party system, Xbox is going to be doing great. I think as a first party system, not so hot in the next couple of years. But man, as Sony's the main competitor, like competition right now, and we'll see how they do with that. But if all they have is God of War, which is a great game, but if Nintendo has a Zelda, a Mario, a Pokemon, and then like a whole, like we have Pokemon Snap still hanging around, there's a lot of games up in the air. Yeah,
I forgot about Snap.
Yeah.
Hashtag don't forget about Snap. That's my new t-shirt.
Yeah, dude. For that bad boy. Mm-hmm. Don't forget. Never forget. Never forget Coco or that or Pokemon. Okay, here we go. Next question. Thank you, Pantsuits. Hot Pursuit asked, it seems that neither Xbox or PlayStation is willing to leave the last gen behind. With Sony saying it's to its developers to continue developing for the PS4 for at least 3 years into the PS5 life cycle. Do you see this move benefiting Nintendo at all? So basically, Sony's been saying to their developers, hey, chill out. You know, chill out. We want some PS4 games for a couple, you know, couple more years here. So, you know, slightly do some PS5, make it look nice, but let it play on the PS4 too.
Add your
fancy lighting, but like, you know, don't go crazy here. We have 100 million bros chilling out and we don't want to let them go. So I don't know, Do you think this benefits Nintendo at all? Do you see this being this is a weird generation, Trev, man. This isn't normal, man. It's like Habsy. You know what I mean? Like when you went from Xbox to Xbox 360, it was the Xbox 360. You weren't hanging on to that thing. You're like threw that thing out the window and you went on to the new thing, you know? And Xbox One, same kind of similar thing. I mean, there was maybe less of it, but if you wanted to go to the next gen, this is a weird gen. Xbox itself is also carrying a lot of things through. Like you said, playing old games is what you're doing a lot of.
On
a new system. And I, you know, PlayStation 4 games, like Spider-Man on PlayStation 5, you know, that's a PlayStation 4 game. Obviously, I think PlayStation 5 is doing better at separating things a little bit, but it's interesting to hear that they're also worried about this, that they are like, okay, we don't want to leave people behind. I think it does help Nintendo a little bit. I think it puts Nintendo in a spot where they can be like, okay, we have a little bit of time here, right? We have a couple years here, and that's all they need. Nintendo only needs the Switch to last 3 more years or so till they actually have a new Switch or a new console altogether, streaming platform from Nintendo. I doubt that'll happen, but you never know.
Right.
For me, I think it's beneficial to Nintendo. What about you? Do you think it's a good thing? Is it?
I think for, you know, business wise, it's good for PlayStation, and because they have that huge market to sell those new games to. I think it's great for consumers too, because they're not really forced to move up to the next generation of game consoles. So those that maybe can't afford it or whatnot can still play. So that, all that being said, that's awesome. You know, that's great. Downside is that you're not going to get the full breadth of possibilities of a new system, but I think it does help Nintendo because there's less of a deluge in between Switch graphic output and the current PS4. So maybe there still could be those ports. I'm really struggling to see that for most of these games. Maybe they'll take a more cloud-based approach, kind of similar to what they're doing with like Control and stuff like that. Which I gotta say, Devin, that I tested that demo, it worked so good. I was like, this is almost better than everything I've played on Stadia, on Nvidia Now or whatever it is, and even Xbox X Cloud or whatever it is. I think I don't know what tech they're using, but it worked so good. That was one of my best cloud experiences. So maybe that's how we get some of these newer games. Still get like the stuff from Nintendo that's actually on the system, but I'm not too sure. But I think this does help Nintendo. I think it makes it, there's less of a gap, because I think the more we see that gap widen of graphic prowess in between these consoles, people are really going to start noticing it and being like, come on, Nintendo, like put out the next thing. Like let's come on, give it a little bit more oomph. So.
I think they're really getting lucky, because I think these consoles can pull off some really cool stuff, but we're not seeing it yet, and I haven't seen it yet. I don't think I've seen the next gen thing yet. Even Dark Souls or Demon Souls, I think it looks good, but it's not like, it's still not like really kill, like it's nothing that I'm like, wow, that's blowing my mind. It's cool, but it's not there. That demo though, I just need to, like, I don't know how it's working. Like my internet sucks
for Control,
sucks, and
right?
Somehow it worked for Control. The demo for Control, amazing. It worked amazing, and I don't know why. Like I tried Stadia gave me, because I'm a YouTube Premium member, Stadia was hey, we're gonna give you this controller and like Google Chrome if you come to Stadia. So I did it so I could get the controller and the new Google whatever, just so I can cancel them a month later, because I don't care, but at least I get a new controller, a Bluetooth controller for free. So went on that, tried to do Stadia, and it didn't work. Like it just was like, yeah, your
it just
internet
wouldn't work for you.
Your internet was like, it was just like, yeah, it ain't gonna happen, man, this ain't playing. And that was like, it was like a simple game, one of their, I think it was Gist or something. Yeah. So that's fine with me, but it's weird that Control worked so well and Stadia didn't work at all. Like it wouldn't even play the game, but Control worked amazingly well. So if they, I don't know who they're using or what they're doing, but if Nintendo looked for that kind of future, I think it's possible that that could help them with that visual gap for a little bit also. But like we said, this is good news for Nintendo. It's not exciting news for me as like an all around gamer. It kind of bums me out a little bit. I kind of like to see these generational leaps. And this one seems to be the least like leapy. Like I'm not leaping yet, Trev.
Well, okay, you're not leaping yet, but I'll tell you what, going back to playing some of the games, Xbox One games that ran like crap, and then all of a sudden playing them at 4K, running 60, buttery smooth, it's a whole nother experience. Like it really is. The new stuff is awesome, and I can't wait to see where it's like games solely developed for these new systems and with like the potential of them. But I still feel like developers are able to scale really well. They've been doing it on PC for a long time, from something real minimal and chill to something crazy with ray tracing and all this other fluff. So I still think that they can do a lot with it without and let it be cross-generational. But taking some of these old games, like they really makes them feel new and fresh and something magical, man. Like when games just run at a solid 60 and that have extra graphic stuff because they went in and did a little extra work to it, it's pretty awesome to go back to some of these games. So it is a weird situation, especially because we had the half steps like a couple of years ago with the Xbox One X and the PS4 Pro. So that also was a little weird that it wasn't like we've had this weird half step. I think if we went from those original consoles to these new ones, I think we would be even more wowed, impressed. I guess. But the solid state stuff, dude, right now, like just the quality of life, like jumping in and out of stuff so seamlessly and quickly is awesome. So I think graphically, we might be getting pretty close to like, come on, what else could we do here? I think it's going to be a lot of the surrounding stuff.
It is kind of weird because before you would never hear, like you would hear about like, you know, how fast it is. But this is like the main topic, it seems to be, with both of these systems, is how quick the loading times are. And you wouldn't think, like for me, loading times, I guess, got to a big deal. I mean, some of those loading times are ridiculous now. But yeah, it's funny that we're not talking so much about the graphics, because that used to be the thing, man. When you were a kid, it was like, check out these
graphics,
bits and freaking pixels and all the things. But yeah, now it's just like, look how fast. But then those times we had cartridges, so they were super fast.
Well, carts were immediate almost.
Immediate. Yeah. Those were the faster days. Come on.
I feel like we're finally maybe getting back to that point. That would be pretty sick.
Yeah, getting there. That'd be sick. Yeah. So yeah, good news for Nintendo. All right news for everyone else. Mad Dad asks, would you rather have big publishers take chances on new IP or continue with old IP like Assassin's Creed or Call of Duty?
New IP.
So I'm on that for sure, dude. Because like, what Assassin's Creed are we on? I know it's
we're on like the 40th. It's like, dude, I don't know. It's not the 40th, but it's ridiculous how many.
Like, yeah.
Well, and also like with Call of Duty too, you know, like these Call are annual also. Games. Like these games come out almost every year. Assassin's Creed, they took that one little break, but for the past decade, these things have come out every single year. And it's so, both of these games that were referenced, Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I'm playing them both right now. So these are games that I'm playing. They're good, they're fun, but it's just like, I guess I'm just getting tired of it. Like it is great to have that, like every you can count on Call of Duty being there and to get your big bombastic shooter or whatever. Like it's cool to have that, but I would really love them to just like, all right, let's put that on the back burner for like 5 years and let's go make a new game with a new, just new ideas all around. Like Assassin's Creed, I don't know why they have to keep calling these games Assassin's Creed. There's so little animus and all like that stuff that, makes it Assassin's Creed. Like, just call this game Valhalla and, you know, take out some of the dumb Assassin's Creed-y stuffs and just make this a dope Viking game. Like, I don't know why it has to have any kind of tie to Assassin's Creed.
Me either. It's silly. Like, silly. It's super silly. And, like, so the, Call of Duty has three teams, or used to. I don't know if the third one got screwed,
I think,
or
they
whatever. But
still do, but...
Yeah. Three teams, they work on Call of Duty. Like, Activision, it's Activision. Yeah, Activision, this is basically their main thing. And they have three studios working on these games. It'd be nice if one of those studios took some time to make a sick shooter that wasn't Call of Duty. You know what I mean? Like, wasn't military based or was completely different. And, like, I know they're trying to, like, they try to mix it up. They do their best with the campaign stuff, but the multiplayer is not changing. Like, it's been the same, which isn't bad. Like, they're really good. Like, they're awesome at what they do, but it's just, you know,
it would put some more life, some, make it a little bit more fresh, having something new. And, you know, to give them some credit with this latest campaign on the, I think it's called Cold War. Call of Duty Cold War, whatever it is. There is a mission where you're, I mean, not, no crazy spoilers, but where you go undercover and there is no like shooting and all this stuff. Like, you're actually having conversations and dialogues and trying to trick people that you are this undercover agent. And you're sneaking up on people and doing some nasties, but it was cool. I was like, all right, that was neat. Like, do more of that, do something else a little bit different. Cause that was probably the most fun I've had with Call of Duty for a long time. So I would like to see them really just, take what they have and totally mix it up with the new IP, come up with some different ideas. But unfortunately, these companies that we're speaking of, Ubisoft and Activision, like, they're big companies that have shareholders that they have to year over year gains and things like that. So just like, they're never going to do that. That's the downside, is it just won't happen. They might start off and have like a little small team do like a side project, but it won't be one of their main teams, because these are their big money makers and they have people that have to report to. So of course they're going to do what they know will bring in money, which is kind of a bummer.
Capitalism. It's good and bad.
But imagine that. There are some pros and cons.
To anything. Man, it is a bummer. And it, like you said, it's almost like the developers are like begging for something, you know? It's like they do, like, Call of Duty has these missions where you're like, this is refreshing, you know? It's like, this is nice.
It's a call for help, Devin.
Yeah, it's a call for help. They're begging. Help.
Well, no, but like the thing is too, is oftentimes, like, okay, you had the guys that from Infinity Ward that broke off and they did Titanfall, which was awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so like, I think that's where you see the innovation, because like, for instance, with Blizzard, they had a whole bunch of like founding members leave recently and start their own studios outside of Activision Blizzard. And I'm excited to see what they're going to do, because it will be something new and refreshing, and they can go ahead and do that because they don't have Activision to report to. Now, that's a scary thing for them to do. I can't imagine, as you know, breaking off from a guaranteed thing, but I think that's kind of cool. I think that's where we get a lot of the innovation, more than I think about it, is once they have all that success and they can kind of build that clout and then bounce off, do their own thing. And then that's when they can be a little bit more creative, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's like Activision's like McDonald's, you know. It's like, it's good that it's there. It gives like people work, or like Walmart, right? It like gives people jobs, and that's awesome. But you know, sometimes you want something fresh and new. You know, you want a little quirky grocery store nearby or something different. Yeah. And I think, and that's what you're seeing. And that usually it's like, you know, people that are jumping ship. Especially with Activision, we've lost a lot of people, like Mass Effect people and all these people, BioWare, all these people are jumping ship just because they don't want to be part of that big machine. And it's okay that that's there, because it gives jobs. But I think it would be nice, honestly, to have a little more confidence in gamers and in your developers to be like, okay, we can make something better. Like, we can make a really sick game that's totally different. And I think Ubisoft tries, to be honest. Ubisoft gives them some credit. They do try a little more than Activision or EA in some ways. But yeah, man, from these big guys, we need to start seeing some changes, I think, just a little bit. But
Real quick, good. Devin. Oh, go ahead.
No,
before we round this off, we did get a couple recommendations in chat on the Twitch chat. As far as this is around what Nintendo could do, Retrospect said Mario Sunshine 2 needs to happen. Devin, do you want a Mario Sunshine 2? What are you thinking?
Mario Sunshine.
You've been on that
2.
Sunshine train lately, so.
Yeah, I think Sunshine's a great game. I think what they need to fix Sunshine is a long jump. You keep that long jump from Mario 64, I'm in, baby. Let's make this game happen.
Okay, also, you heard that here first.
I also think Sunshine's a cool game. If they were going to do Sunshine 2, I like the idea of the whole. I like that it was a big environment, kind of like it kind of connected. But I would like to see a little more creativity with the islands or something. Maybe it's like a whole bunch of different islands and they can mix it up a little bit more. It was too, I don't know. The stages just weren't as exciting to me, but it plays amazing. Like it plays
That's
like a
good
dream. So yeah.
Yeah.
I dig it. I dig it.
Yeah. So Retrospect said literally one of the best selling games. And this is talking about Sunshine 2 or Sunshine. And it's one Mario title without a sequel. Besides, I mean, I guess Odyssey doesn't have one yet, but.
Yep. Or 64, I guess.
64. Yeah. You know, but.
What would it be 64? Is 120? Let's do some math. It would be 128.
Yeah.
yeah. I don't. Yeah,
math
there's a couple.
Good on that one.
I mathed very good, except for the first time that I said the wrong math. Trev, what you been playing, man? What you been up
to? Oh, boy. So I've been really dipping my fingies into a whole bunch of different things. But mainly, I'm playing on the Xbox Series X, giving it a good old test go and having a blast, playing a lot of old games, seeing how well they just all run so smooth for the most part. And I'm super happy with it. But if I were to pick one game that I've been actually really digging into is Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I love Viking crap, Dev. Like, it's in our blood. It's in our history. You know, like ancestry Vikings, right? Exactly. Yeah. The beard.
Sorry, wrong
wear,
yeah.
You know, so like I got very excited when they announced this. And the Assassin's Creed gameplay is pretty solid. Like I do enjoy it. With this game, it feels so cool to be a Viking, like especially getting on those boats, running up into the shore, raiding a village or whatever. It's really cool. Now, a couple things with this game, it's slow to start, man. It takes like seriously, like I'm 8 hours into it and I'm still like, I still feel like I'm in the starting stuff. Like I'm like, come on, let's move the story forward. So I'm worried that this game is seriously like a 60-hour game. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to commit to the whole thing. But the other thing that I really like is at the start, you spend a lot of time like where Norway or whatever that area, right? Yeah. Where the Vikings are. Yeah, just north.
The Great North. Yep.
And I feel like it's really cool. You have all those really jagged, pointy rocks, and it just looks so neat. And it's a lot of verticality. And I'm like, cool, I love this. But then you are leaving that area because of being like oppressed and all this stuff. So you are going to raid Saxon England, you know, and kind of start a new life there. Nothing against England. It's beautiful there, but there's not a lot of variety. It's a lot of fields. It's a lot of just hills and greenery and stuff like that. And Assassin's Creed is a lot about climbing and sneaking and all this stuff. And I feel like you lose a little bit of that going to England a little bit. So I'm like, I wish I went. I hope it goes back. I hope we go back to
verticality gone.
Not completely gone,
is it like
but not
Assassin's Creed 3. like the third one where it was like planes and kind of like revolutionary.
Like buildings. I said, I'm not that far into it. So I can't commit to that, but it kind of feels like that almost. Like I'm just like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. And honestly, I like the look of the north a lot more. And so I wish I spent more time up there. But it, so far, I've been having a lot of fun. The combat is very intense. It doesn't seem like a lot of like Assassin's Creed 2 where you're like taking, like you lock onto one guy and you're just fighting that one guy and all his buddies are just standing there waiting for you to finish fighting that one guy and then they take turns. This one, like they gang up on you and stuff like that, which is cool. Something about wielding a big old axe and a shield and you know, going to town is pretty fun. I think you can even like main hand shield and offhand a shield, so you can have two shields that you're rocking, hitting people with and stuff, charging in. I haven't tried that yet, but I'm pretty sure I've seen that somewhere on YouTube. But having fun with it. I'm excited to dig in a little bit further, but it does look beautiful on these new consoles, man. Like it, oh boy, gives me some goosebumps.
Does it? So this has the ray tracing, right?
Has some ray traces. It's running at 4K. Yeah, the water looks great. Like with the ray tracing, it like really does add some really cool effects to games, like as far as just realism and just really bringing you into the world. So it does feel really good. I don't think it's running at 60 frames a second. I think it's running at 30, but it still feels real solid. So
pretty good. Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's fun that they're actually it's sad that it's taken so long. That's like, to me, that's like the most annoying thing is when it takes like 8 hours. That's why I hate most JRPGs. I like I like the idea, but man, Japanese RPGs need to learn how to start.
Speed
which
it up.
Brings me to Nier Automata. That son of a bitch starts right on off. That thing's awesome.
Is that what you're playing right now?
I am playing that, but that game.
Ooh, very cool.
Yeah, so that game's super cool. Very strange. It's like a top down side scrolling and third person fighting game.
And like it's not just it's like a mix of a bunch of different genres of games. Like it's neat.
Yeah, it's super neat, super cool. I'm loving it. But what I really want to talk about, kind of more Nintendo related, I played What Remains of Edith Finch. This game is one of my favorite walking simulators thus far. This is a great game. Very mysterious, very cool. Have you ever played this game at all, Trevor? Do you know anything about it?
You know, I haven't. I've heard about it. I have it on Xbox because I got it for free one time. And
yeah.
I really want to dive into it. But I mean, like, sell me on it. What is this thing, Dev?
So, dude, you're I don't want to give too much away, but you are a young woman going back to her family home where she where this family is cursed and each one has died in a strange way or a different fashion way before, you know, when they should be dying. So there's a lot of cool different ways, like the one we're seeing here is this kid that had dreams of being an astronaut, and well, it doesn't end well because he's swinging on the swing and you can see where he's going.
Should I stop it?
Maybe. So yeah,
let's stop it right there. But
anyways, each one is like a vignette. So you see these, you go into this crazy cool house. It's really kooky, very Tim Burton-y. I'd say better than Tim Burton. That guy sucks, but very kind of, I love the look of it. It's a little framey. I'm playing it on the Xbox One, so I assume on the Switch it's even framier. But yeah, it is a pretty game other than the framiness. The art style is really cool, exaggerated, whimsical and fun. So you're going in, all the rooms are like sealed off because the mom is crazy. And so like you're kind of going through these secret paths to go through these and see these different characters or family members' rooms. So you're kind of doing like a genealogy a little bit, Trev, a little bit of genealogy. But it's like really fun to see these family members' strange deaths. There's like a baby one, which is kind of sad. It goes places. It's dark, but it's rated teen. It's like not too, you know, not everyone is like horrible or gruesome or anything like that. It's fun the way they play with it. Even the baby one is kind of an interesting way. You see what a baby would be imagining or what a baby would be seeing. So it's really like fantastic. There's like one where a guy is doing a mundane job. So you're doing this mundane job of cutting fish heads. And then all of a sudden his world starts becoming a fantasy world while he's doing the mundane job. So you have to do the mundane thing with one stick and the fantastic stuff with the other stick as the fantastic world is slowly bleeding into this mundane thing. So it's really creative, really interesting. Like every single one is differently played. Everyone is like a simple middle mini game kind of thing. It's really cool, Trev. This is honestly like, it's like a 2 hours, 3 hour experience. It is one of the most like enjoyable, like story experiences I've had in a game for a long time. This got me going back. Like I was kind of feeling low on games for a little bit, and this really has pushed me to kind of get back in and really dig it. So
very cool. Yeah,
What Remains of Edith Finch. It's a must play for me. It's you got to try it. I think it's very interesting. It will keep you going. I know people, when you think walking simulator, there's like Days Gone. And some people were like, wow, this is
Gone
so cool.
Home. Yeah.
Yeah. Gone Home, which is fine. I thought Gone Home was an average story.
Sure.
It's okay. This game is way better. So check this out. What Remains of Edith Finch, a simple game, something I think your significant others, if they don't like video games, this is something I think they would get into. It's very easy to play and very cool to keep you going. So check it out. It is so, so good. So fun. It is a 9 for me for sure. Trev, what we want to recommend to the world, our final recommendations. This can be video game stuff or otherwise. Trev, your recommendation tonight?
Yeah, buddy. So my recommendation, all right, this is a public service announcement. Wear a helmet if you are doing anything intense, like any kind of extreme sports, riding motorcycle, riding a bike, skateboard, whatever you're doing, wear a helmet. A couple weeks ago, and this is why I have not been here for a little bit, is I was out riding my one wheel and crashed pretty bad. I broke some ribs. Luckily, I had my helmet on because my head smacked the ground really hard. And luckily, I had that helmet on because I can't imagine what crap I would be dealing with right now besides broken ribs if I didn't have that. And so I am extremely grateful that I have that helmet and that I was wearing it. So please wear a helmet. I know they do not seem cool. They're annoying. They mess up your hair. That's why you shave off your hair. Problem solved right there. Yeah, but the thing is like helmets are dumb, but guess what? They save your lives. So wear a freaking helmet. That's PSA. Just do it, guys. It's totally worth it.
Yeah, for sure. Cheers, dude. Mine is also of the health genre. I've been exercising lately and it feels good. So I've been thinking I've lost lots of weight. I know it doesn't seem like I need to lose a lot of weight, but I did because I was getting dad fat. So I left the dad fat behind. I'm getting more to my normal self again. So I lost like 21 pounds or something.
Dude.
I'm wearing like a size 30. I've never worn this.
Buddy.
Yeah, I've never had a size 30 pant in my life. So I'm feeling good. So for me, and I just generally, other than like the way I look, I think I feel a lot better. I was addicted to crap. Dude, I love me some cookies. I just can't stop, baby. You give me a whole sleeve of something, I'll get the whole sleeve and more. So yeah, it feels good. So I say, go out there, get healthy, start exercising. The first 3 days, dude, of anything, exercise, whatever, is like the frickin' worst. So get through the first 3 days. You'll start feeling better. You'll get like in a routine. Find someone on YouTube that you like that does exercise and talks about exercise and try to follow them. And that will help you a little bit to kind of get you, or not you, it doesn't have to be YouTube, just anybody that you know that can get you involved and you get involved in that community and be like, okay, this is my goal. This is what I want to be, why I'm doing it, and really go out there. You know, it's good to have a healthy heart and it's good to last long for your family and your kids. So go out there, do good for your body. I mean, I have some bad genetics, Trev. You and me have sucky genetics on the heart and the diabetes.
It's that Viking
that
blood.
Stuff. That's that Viking blood. But we also can be super strong because we got that Viking blood. So anyways, treat your mama right and treat your body right, as Mr. T would say. Trev,
it's a motto I live by.
That's it for the... Heck yeah. That's it for the Nintendo show. Everyone, thanks for listening and watching here on Twitch. Make sure you visit our website at nintendoshow.com. Follow us on Twitch right here, Instagram, Facebook, all those places. You can find us in any podcast service of your choice and leave us a review on iTunes or anywhere. And we will appreciate it greatly. We love you guys. You are awesome. The best fans in the world. Stay tuned, because we will be sending out to everyone Weekly Recharge, our newest venture, which will be other video games other than Nintendo. So that will be coming out on YouTube, a YouTube specific show, Weekly Recharge. That will be coming up in the next week, week or two. So there you go. That's it. We'll see you later. Bye.